Hello, hello everyone. So I want to share a couple of thoughts about this new moon that is happening tonight in Pisces, or tomorrow, depending on the time zone that you're at. So this is a very interesting one because, it is the last new moon in Pisces in our lifetimes with Neptune conjunct the North Node in Pisces. So Neptune has been in Pisces for the past 14 years, and Pisces is the home of Neptune because Neptune is the ruler. It's going to move into Aries in March, and it will retrograde back in Pisces at the end of this year for a few months before completely moving into Aries, but it's not going to be conjunct the North Node anymore. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's going to be another 160 years before Neptune comes back into Pisces. So yeah, anyway, like what I wanted to say is, it's interesting. So this new moon, you know, in general, new moons are this time of the lunar cycle where the sky is the darkest, right? It is the blank canvas, the empty canvas that we get to create, to call in whatever we want to. It is that seed of creation, right? And they work in this cycle. So, for example, the new moon in Pisces would be the seed, and then the fruit will be the full moon in Pisces that happens in 6 months. So they all go in this 6 month cycle, right? The full moon in Pisces happens during Virgo season. So that's 6 months later, you know? So now we're basically planting the seeds of what we want to call in for the next cycle, the next 6 month cycle, right? And also the day before the new moon, we have this dark moon that is a period. It's a very liminal period, very liminal space when the veil is very thin and we're able to tune into the subtle layers of consciousness, receive downloads and drop in with what is happening deep in our psyche. And this is what helps us because, you know, when you're calling in something in your life, you have to make space for that. So it's very important before setting your intent for the new moon to actually release, let go of anything that doesn't serve you, anything that's like holding you back, anything that you feel like it's draining your energy. So this is a very auspicious period. It's also great for any spiritual practices like meditation, but also like grounding, you know, like the polarity of Pisces is Virgo. Virgo is all about the body, the health. So it's also important to connect to our bodies. You can do that by walking in nature, spending time next to waters, or taking a bath, or yeah, nourishing your body. But one thing that I want to point out here with this new moon, so when we think about the Pisces themes, Pisces, it's a lot about creativity, it's a lot about compassion, it's a lot about flow, it's a lot about this liminal space, it's a lot about the higher states of consciousness. But also at the shadow level, Pisces, it's about addiction, it's about escapism, avoidance, it's about feeling overwhelmed with emotions and with sensory input and avoiding that. And then addiction is a coping mechanism for that. And you know, with Neptune being a planet that rules liminal states of consciousness, but it also rules like other worlds, you know, like for example, fantasy, books, movies, cinema, all of these things. So when you put them together, you know, we see even in today's society this more and more pronounced addiction that we have to media, to AI, for example, to social media, to all of these realms that take us into fantasy. So outside of the physical, the present reality. And it's very interesting to contemplate like how much time, for example, are you spending? What is your relationship with these states or these mediums? What brings for you? What moves through you? And also when you think about addiction, so I mean, this is a subject that's been, I've been working with it for a long time. I mean, when I was younger, I used to have quite an addictive personality, for good and bad, like everything that was coming my way. Also in my Gene Keys profile, for those of you that are familiar with the Gene Keys, I have the 24th key very prominently two times in my profile, and the shadow of the 24th is addiction. Yeah, basically addiction in the Gene Keys is described as going into a circle, so going into this repeated patterns that do not serve us, and the solution would be to catch these gaps in awareness, you know, like you have these gaps when we have that free will. We have that choice that do we want to go back to the same addictive behavior or do we want to break the pattern? And so instead of going in a circle, we start going spiralic, right? We still go through those same, and we still have these drives, and we still have these cravings and addictive tendencies. But the more we expand our consciousness, the more we're able to shed awareness onto them, and then the more we can take an empowered choice. So it's important to ground, for example, to make more space, more pauses in your day to simplify your life, because this is what encourages these spontaneous gaps in awareness to arise in your life. You know, that moment before you're drawn back into that addictive cycle, when you have that choice to break free of it. And with addiction, there's always a deeper pattern underneath, you know. So usually willpower and control are not the solution to curbing it. And we see this often, like people trying to quit smoking, for example, or with eating or social media or all of these things that are very addictive. Sure, like there's that resolution that, okay, I'm gonna force myself, or like I'm gonna do this, and then for a while, like you stick to it, but then it's because this is a coping mechanism for something that's much deeper inside of you. Usually it's based on a fear or a sense of inadequacy, of not feeling loved, not being good enough, not feeling like belonging. And so the addiction is just a coping mechanism. This is escaping, right? Escaping the pain. And this is a big Piscean theme, this escaping. So because of that, that will always override that mental willpower and control, right? So it works for a while, but that's why it's important to go deep and discover what is there, what is that inadequacy and the fear that has manifested in this coping mechanism of the addiction. And also another thing, it's very important, even when we catch ourselves in the act, or like after, when we have the awareness, it's important to release any sort of criticism, blame, guilt, you know, because feeding it with more blame, it doesn't help, and it doesn't allow us to penetrate those layers and go deep and explore that pattern. You know, like shame will always keep us at that same vibrational level. So it doesn't matter what you do. You know, this is one thing that Richard Rudd is saying in the Gene Keys. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters who you are while you're doing it. So it matters to nourish yourself no matter what. Always feel love for yourself. Feel compassion for yourself. This is how you're able to go deep within, right? To sit with yourself, to go deep into that conversation, and then be able to see, to explore what is there. And you know, also the solution, like I was saying, a lot of the times is not abstinence, it's not willpower, but it's rather community, it's rather people, it's rather love, a sense of belonging. Most often than not, addictions are either us not feeling good enough, or feeling isolated, or not belonging. And also when you think about astrology, for example, you have this polarity between the fifth house and 11th house, right? Because, for example, addiction is something that creates pleasure, right? Most often than not, it's this, well, it is a superficial pleasure for sure, but it is a momentary rush of dopamine, right? And pleasure is associated with the fifth house in astrology. And interesting enough, like the opposite of the fifth house is the 11th house, which is the house of community, friends, right? And belonging. So when we see here, when one house is imbalanced, hence pleasure imbalanced, then we bring it into balance by looking at the opposite. So we look at community, we look at friends, we look at groups of people, soul tribe, right? So yeah, it's important. And I wrote here, for example, an affirmation that I found online, and I think it's super, super nice. So I'm just gonna read it from my notes. I'm willing to sacrifice my addictions that drain my presence, free will, and power on the path of becoming my realized self. I am willing to turn towards my true desire. So yeah, this is, if you're facing this shadow, yeah, this affirmation and this mantra, yeah, it's an interesting way to help keep you grounded and tethered to your truth. And when we think about Neptune is also, it's a planet of, well, it helps us dissolve the boundaries. So here, I'm going to go a little bit into this idea of Pisces being creativity too. And sometimes we might feel critical of our creative outlets. Then Neptune here in Pisces has slowly been helping us dissolve these boundaries, these limitations that we feel, right? Also with Saturn now being in Pisces and closing into a conjunction with Neptune, it will be this interesting conversation of Neptune dissolving the Saturnian boundaries. But also on the other side, Neptune is confusion, right? Like I was saying, it's illusion, it's not knowing. And this is the thing, is that sometimes we find ourselves in this addictive behaviors because we're in a search of truth, right? Because something to us promises a deep meaning, a sense of connection to a truth, to our truth, right? So it's important to realize here, to make this discernment. And also the opposite of Pisces is Virgo, which is the discernment, the editor of the soul. So to make the discernment, when we think Neptune, confusion, right? We're chasing a truth, we're looking for our truth, but then we're finding ourselves in this addictive behavior, right? So then it's important to let go of the illusion and not be deceived by what we want to be true, but instead look for that deeper truth, that deeper underneath truth, right? And here, like I was saying, with Neptune being this idea of confusion and not knowing, it's also interesting that we have Jupiter still in Gemini, right? And Gemini is very active at the mental level. Gemini wants to learn, connect, know everything, right? There's the sign of like constant processing of information, in and out of information, right? So then Jupiter makes everything big, expands everything. So then being in Gemini will expand this desire to know, right? This desire to always know everything. So it's important to pause, right? And instead of needing to know, being like, how can I look at the deeper meaning of this moment right now? And one thing that's very interesting is to contemplate this idea of what if even the not knowing, this idea of not knowing what's next or not having that clarity is actually a step in your journey of discovering, right? So what if you honor that as a phase, you know, as well, instead of denying yourself the pleasure of enjoying every step and drawing in the medicine and wisdom that comes from each of those experiences, even the experiences that feel constricting and challenging, right? So same as the moon, right? It goes through all these eight phases throughout the cycle, right? The new moon, for example, is the beginning phase of the new moon or lunar cycle, right? So then as the moon honors each of those phases without trying to escape it, how can we honor the phase, even that phase of not knowing? because that's also part of a journey. So release that seeking to know at every step and then relax into this not knowing. This also makes the space, you know, I was saying at the beginning, we make the space to call in something new. So by sitting in the space of not knowing, you're basically creating space for clarity to find you. I don't know if it makes sense, but yeah, it's very subtle here, but if you really grasp this, it's very important and it allows you a deeper level of softening, right? Because ironically, the more we seek something, basically the more we affirm that we don't have it, right? We create that that distance between us and the thing that we're seeking. So even you seeking to know, you already affirm that you don't know. So instead, why not soften into that space of I don't know and invite magic, clarity to come into your life. Open to receive, right? That's, trust me, anything that you're seeking is also seeking you too. So your dreams want you as much as you want. It's just a matter of pausing and receiving, right? And another thing with this new moon is it's also about health, because both Pisces and Virgo, so the opposite of Pisces, they're all about health, this axis, right? Pisces would be the mental health because it's the ruler of the 12th house, the subconscious, and Virgo would be the physical health, right? The body. So it's interesting to see here, like, what are your health patterns? What is your relationship with your health? What is your relationship with eating? What is your relationship with holistic practices, with working out, with taking care of your body, with taking care of your mind, with allowing the spaces throughout the day, being mindful, meditating, grounding, turning off the phone from time to time. So cultivating this lifestyle that's based on both mental health and physical health, right? This is a big, big thing, health, when it comes to both Virgo and Pisces. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to have the full moon in Virgo that actually starts the eclipse season, right? The first eclipse, which is in Virgo. And that will be a lot about the health as well. And another thing that's interesting to mention is that on the 1st, so just 2 days after the... actually, 1 day, yeah. Because February is only 28 days. Yeah, so 1 day after the new moon, we have Venus going retrograde, right, on the 1st of March, retrograde in Aries, and then it's going to retrograde back in Pisces for a while before finishing the retrograde and then returning to Aries. So Venus is doing this dance between Aries and Pisces for the next months. And Venus retrograde is a very interesting and auspicious but also challenging transit. It only happens once every 18 months. It takes about 40 days. And yeah, during the retrograde phase, any planet that is retrograde basically asks us to revisit, reflect, and reframe our relationship with that archetype, right? And Venus is the relationship that we have with ourselves, with our partner, with the people in our lives, and also with resources, with money, with our bodies, with our value system, and then how we transform that value system into money, for example. So all of these themes are going to come to the surface during Venus retrograde. So Venus is asking us to slow down here and, yeah, really tune into this relationship, especially with our self-worth. Like I was saying, like, addiction usually is a coping mechanism for a lack of self-worth, a lack of something that we're not accepting about ourselves. So with everything happening now in the sky is, yeah, how can you cultivate a deeper and more empowering and more freedom-based relationship with who you are and just accept yourself. Accept yourself at every stage of your life exactly the way you are without chasing that more, and instead opening to receive what is available at that moment. What is that medicine, the nourishment that is available in that moment? And I'm going to end this transmission with this little quote that I wrote down. saying you cannot live in a world of love and peace until you can see it in you, right? So just let that sink in, and happy new moon, everyone. Much love.